his servants. I greet all of you with the greetings of peace. We say in Arabic, Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Let's give everyone that is shared. That's the purpose of the town hall, is to give expression to the town. And some would say, well, we don't need a town hall meeting. That's foolish talk. That's like saying you don't need a city council meeting or a state senate meeting or a funeral memorial service. Anytime you can bring people together around an issue or concern and offer them opportunity to speak to that issue or concern and give guidance and direction to that issue or concern and give next step strategies from that issue or concern, then that represents responsible leadership. But I'm especially joyous over the words of the mother of Oscar. The spirit of that young man who came from that blessed womb. And our purpose for organizing, Mother, is so that there are thousands and millions of young Oscar Grants out there who may never, ever fulfill their purpose in life, because their life is cut short by injustice. So we have a duty to ensure that those young brothers and sisters live. Yes. This is why we came up with the theme, I am Oscar Grant.
That's right.
Why? Because each one of us lost a son, lost a brother, lost a father. And each one of us could have easily been that victim that day. There but for the grace of God go we. So this moment is a very, very pregnant moment. And why we wanted to speak to this moment in this setting is because sometimes in crisis, the spin doctors come in. The politicians come in. The lobbyists come in. People start pandering to the cheap seats and use these kinds of moments to put forth an agenda that's designed to play on the fears of people and the pain of people, so that in the fog of unclarity, they can usher in policies that are designed to criminalize a whole people. For example, as Brother Keith pointed out, when 9/11 hit, that was a tragedy. But as the people were grieving over that tragedy, people were already planning Patriot Acts. People were already planning wars in Iraq and Afghanistan for oil. But they manipulated the pain of that moment to usher in policies that, once people began to get clarity as to what was happening, after voting for policies, after voting, the only person that stood up against the war in Iraq was Congresswoman Barbara Lee. Many in the Black Caucus voted for this. Pandering to pressure coming from people who said, we've got to use this moment and take advantage of this moment. And then after 2 or 3 years later, when the clarity of the lies and the deception was exposed, then people had to explain their vote. Oh, well, you know, I didn't read the legislation. I was wrong. What we don't want is a 9/11 moment coming on the heels of this tragedy. And may I say this? Any loss of life that appears to be innocent should not have any other feeling for you other than pain.
Come on.
Yes.
Otherwise, those who said Oscar Grant got what he deserved, and there are those who said that. Read the blogs. Listen to KGO. They're wrong. But it don't make it right. Because I guarantee you the pain of that mother and that family is the same pain that those families are experiencing. That's why you don't need extreme positions guiding the discussion and guiding policy. Now, there are extremes. There's a lot of folk in our communities that earn the heck with that. They got with that. And I understand that. We've been suffering from injustice so long.
So long.
That there's a lot of folk that feel like that. On the flip side, there are those who feel like this man who did this comes from a community.
Right.
Of criminals and animals. That policing in our community is a war zone. And you're dealing with less than human beings. So therefore they need to go in and do even more in the way of harsh policing. Now it's in between those two extremes that clarity has to kick in. Because if you were outraged over these four officers, we should have seen that same outrage when Brother Oscar Grant was murdered. Listen to me now. And if you were silent when Oscar Grant got killed, then you should shut your mouth now. Police. Certainly we don't want to upset. No, you don't want to upset God.
Right. Yes.
That's what you fear. That's what you're afraid of upset. You don't want to upset God. And you don't want to upset the principle of justice by being selective. I want to thank, there's a sister in the audience who's a dear friend of mine, Sister Ann Williams. Stand up, Sister Ann. Just raise your beautiful, elegant. I've known her for, I guess, 25 years or so, a long time. But she's always been a champion for justice. And it was Sister Ann who knew some of the family members of the Nixon family and facilitated Pastor Humphreys and Minister Keys and others to go and counsel with the Nixon family. The unsung heroes and sheroes of our community. And you know, in an hour like this, you need moral clarity. President Obama, if you notice, is wrestling with the culture of Washington. Listen to what he said. We have a culture that has a tendency to want to point fingers and blame each other without looking at what is best for the country. Isn't that what he said? The spirit of bipartisanship has literally put the country second and party affiliation first. So he has pledged his presidency to try to bridge the gap for the sake of the country. But it's a hard road, isn't it? Now, how do you apply that to this? We're trying to bridge the gap between law enforcement and community. Well, you got law enforcement that has been doing what it does since slavery. You know, I got to go over this now. You need to know. We've said it, but some of you weren't here when we said it. Policing in America got its start as slave catchers in Virginia after the Nat Turner revolts. In fact, in between Denmark Vesey and Gabriel Prosser and Nat Turner was about 30 years, and it was in that period that policing started first as vigilante slave catchers. And slave patrols.
That's right.
And then they organized into police.
That's right.
In the Northeast, many of the Irish gang bangers. You saw the movie Gangs in New York. These were some of the Irish immigrants that came over, and they were thugs, gangsters. And somebody got the bright idea, if you just organize yourself, we can bring you into law enforcement and you can become police.
Say that.
They always make provisions. You know, America was set up by thugs. You know that, right? America was peopled by the murderers and cutthroats of England. So was Australia. So was New Zealand. You know that history. But what happens is there's this tendency to want to produce legislation that comes out of tragedies that involve other people that seem to be perpetrated by black people or people of color. So as a result now, you produce a climate where now we're discussing fixing the parole system. But not fixing it for real. Fixing it to tighten it so that the frustration that's in the parole system never gets resolved. Because one of the things that the Nixon grandmother said was that they took his revolution took place in those 5 years or 7 years. They call them correctional facilities. But what corrections really take place? Or do you come out worse after being what they would call gladiator school? If you survive prison, doctor, you survive something. Because the gods manipulate and cause prisoners to be at each other. And if there's too much tranquility, start something. So what happens is right in the system of prison, people don't come out better unless God himself comes in through a pastor or a minister or some group. You really are left to your own devices of survival. That's real.
That is real.
Then when you get let out, you have a system of parole that literally is designed to get you back in there. As Brother Keith pointed out, ain't no such thing as a routine stop. When many of our brothers get stopped, remember, 1 in 3 African-American men in California are under some form of court supervision, which means you can just about stop any brother, and the odds are he will have some parole, probation, some kind of something hanging over him. So it's no longer a stop as to whether or not I ran a stop sign or slowed down when I should have stopped, give me my ticket. That's not the average stop for a brother. Now when I get stopped, that means 3 more years, 5 more years. And depending upon how the officer woke up that day, it could mean life or death.
Man.
And this is why when Oscar Grant got murdered in cold blood before the world, that's why it was imperative that the law enforcement agencies give justice quickly, so that people don't feel as if there is no hope in the system. So then people start thinking, man, I'm not going out like that. See, injustice, as Minister Farrakhan said to us, produces imbalance. And the more injustice you suffer, the more the delicate balance of the mind is tipped. When you say so-and-so went off, what you mean is they felt like they were done so wrong that they just lost equilibrium and began to act in an antisocial way. So the more injustice, the more imbalance, the more injustice, the more people begin to act in an antisocial and even criminal way. But it's the society's responsibility to produce systems that give equal justice under the law, so that people don't feel in their mind that they have to take law into their own hands. That's when you get anarchy. So Dr. King said, where do we go from here? Chaos or community? And the beauty of this time period is you've got black people and progressive people in positions of authority in every area of authority.
That's right.
It's not like the 60s where the chief of police in Alabama may be the grand wizard at night. Be the sheriff today. You go to make a complaint, he take your complaint now, and at night he put a sheet on and go tell his boys where to go and burn the cross. But today, you got a black police chief. You got a black mayor. You got a black congresswoman. You got a black senator, black supervisors, black assembly members. We're everywhere. So that shouldn't shot about exercising. Because maybe in the back of our mind we don't want to upset. Even if it means upsetting you. But because we're so divided, usually you just get mad. Cuss the television out. But because you're not into joining organizations, you're not into coming together. I ain't into that. Well, then that's all it does. It lives and dies in your mind until you're personally affected. Now you want to organize. Now you want to get together. So what happens is why God permits tragedies is because we're not where He wants us to be. So He'll allow the sacrifice of life in order to save more life. Now, if you're a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. Jesus died for me. Isn't that what we said? Sure. Well, that's sacrifice. That's why we lost Oscar Grant. At the ultimate end of the day, we lost him because God is using him.
Yes.
To raise us up. Yes. Like he used Emmett Till.
Yes.
Like he used little Bobby Hutton.
Yes.
Like he uses people from time to time, whether it's Nat Turner, yes, Denmark Beasley, to solve the overture. He allows good people to lose their life, but in their death, it gives life.
Yes.
To those who need to stand up. I understand. So Oscar Grant became for us a axis upon which we turn, because we can all agree that was wrong. But Jerry Brown didn't say anything about this. Dianne Feinstein didn't say anything about this. Governor Schwarzenegger didn't say nothing about this. Some of our own black folks didn't say nothing about this. But what message are you sending? That these officers' lives are worth more? That's not what the Bible says. Jesus was concerned with the least and said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you're doing it also unto me. So he doesn't measure out worth over non-worth. All life got value. But when we start shading the principle of life, we literally open the door for the imbalance that will have blowback. And it's just a matter of time. So it's in this hour as I conclude. There's something that they have out called the politics of meaning. What does this mean? And sometimes in the question, what does this mean? The spin doctors will come and give it meaning. Well, this means we need to be harsher and stop letting these hoodlums out of prison. We got to pass more laws. No, you got to either fix the laws you've already passed, and you've got to fix the systems, and you got to change the mindset that produced the system. Now listen to what I'm saying. Do you know how laws are made?
Come on now.
Come on. And Safarkan said to me, the way laws are made are this. Attitudes, once they harden, become belief systems. And it's out of belief systems that you get laws. Now the laws you see on the books that impact you and I grow out of the belief that people of color and poor people in urban communities are not seen as human, but as chattel or animals. So you're not dealing with people who view us by and large. Now, if you wear a suit and tie and you're dressed a certain way, at a certain moment in time, you may get a pass because they figure you're a businessman, or you may be a lawyer and you can sue. But if you ever dress down and just run store with a hat and a sweatsuit, you're in trouble. So none of us escape this. And you get treated in that manner. And you already know this. But now, if you allow the spin doctors to spin this moment, then from this tragedy, you will have tougher laws. Because the Jerry Browns of the world, the Schwarzeneggers of the world, the Feinsteins of the world, they're all pandering to the prison guard lobby, to the police unions, and to the developers that finance these kinds of activities, because they want to clear out urban centers for redevelopment. Now that's who's driving this. Do you hear what I'm saying? So Mayor Dellums now has a challenge. He called for in his State of the City address civilian oversight. This is a time you don't shy away from that. You press that. Chief Jordan has to press that. Because the tendency is to bow to the unions rather than bow to the will of the community calling for justice. So while we're asking young men to know how to get through difficult periods when you get stopped, that's proper. But we also have to go and tell law enforcement. We're not going to accept a vigilante spirit where you're amped up now for revenge. And now brothers are going to be stopped randomly for no reason other than we won't pay back. And that spirit is in there. Not all, but it's among some. Then we've got to hold the chief and his command staff accountable. We want statistics on how many arrests were made after this tragedy. We want statistics. And if the trends show all of a sudden now double and triple what ordinarily would happen, then we got to ask why. See, this is how you deal effectively. See, when we call town halls and prepare to go to Sacramento, don't say, well, I'm tired of marching. See, usually when we talk like that, we're saying, I don't want to organize effectively to change what I claim to be mad about. You're not going to change nothing with one little gun in your pocket, brother. All you're going to end up doing is getting yourself killed. He made the gun. He sells the bullets.
That's right.
You wasting your time with that. And you got to be intelligent now. We got too much history.
Come on, man.
But what you can do is fight him in a way where he's never been fought before. And that's shape the debate. We're going to Sacramento. Not for no march. But we're going there to lobby the lawmakers and let them know we're not going to let you use this as an opportunity to craft more three-strike laws. That's what they've never seen. You got to tell the mayor. You got to tell Barbara Lee. You got to tell Sandra Swanson. This is what we need you to do. Why not? They represent you. And you'll be surprised. The more organized you are, and you can show them, look, if you stand up and do the right thing, they're going to come against you, but you have the full backing of this community. Then don't you know they'll be more mindful of standing up without fear of retribution? have that kind of power.
Oh, yes, sir.
But don't just sit, shake your fist, get mad, and cuss the television out. Armchair revolutionaries never won nothing.
Nothing!
Did I say something wrong?
No, you said it right.
There's something to sit in our chair, recline, and lounge back, right, and talk about what we need to do. But are never accountable to nobody.
Nobody.
I want to be accountable.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to just be a good talker. Yes. So I commit my life 24 hours a day on how to organize our people to get justice.
That's it.
And I'm accountable.
Right.
I have people that know what I do.
That's right.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So all of us have to be accountable to our community.
Yes, right.
Where people can lay hands on you.
Oh,
know what you're doing and how you're doing it on behalf of our people. And it don't mean we're going to agree on methodology. Maybe you got your way of doing it. Go on with your bad self. Maybe I got my way of doing it. Go on with my bad self. But if it's of good, do what you do. But don't tell us our way is not the right way and you haven't demonstrated a better way.
Where you at?
Do what you do. But it ain't like you can show a better way, because there's no result that we can touch and hold on to or study. So my advice to us is, let's use the moment.
Come on, man.
Don't shy away. Don't be scared.
No, don't do that.
Stand up.
Stand up.
We have a right to speak.
Yeah.
Why should carpet-bagging politicians be the only ones who speak? I need Jerry Brown to explain his statement. Don't you? You need to roll in and say something and split. No, I need to understand your statement. Give me some clarity on this. Because I didn't hear you say nothing when Oscar Grant lost his life. We need to go ask Governor Schwarzenegger. I'm talking about 1,000 of us going to ask Governor Schwarzenegger, what did you mean? Make him explain himself. Make Diane Feinstein explain herself. I don't think people should just get away without explaining and making sure that their statement makes sense. Senator, we noticed you didn't say anything regarding Oscar Grant. Are we to take that to mean his life wasn't worth your comment?
Yeah. That's a simple question.
See, you gotta know how to jam people. If you're not willing to jam the oppressor, then don't open your mouth, because you're talking loud and saying nothing.
Willie Radcliffe had a statement he wanted to make, and then our sister Diana will have our prayer.